Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Whoops. Yeah, they're caucusing again.
Hi.
Caucusing
I love
again.
Your
caucus.
The liberal caucus.
Caucusing. Caucusing.
Oh, somebody nice short's been sitting in my chair.
Having coffee with Joe?
Somebody's raised my chair.
Up he looks higher.
You got my chair.
Marty
I
Ross
have your
is
chair. This is too low.
Little Marty Ross has been sitting there.
We'll be calling the meeting to order now. It's September 15th, meeting of the Sussex County Council.
You're stuck with it.
No.
I'll entertain any additions or changes to the agenda.
Mr. President, are we going to have a chance for anybody to speak about the request of DLDOT, what we're asking DLDOT for? On transportation.
Is that a change of agenda request?
I don't know.
Oh, that's better.
I imagine that's just something's up to you. I'm just asking, okay. Does it need to be changed or anything in order to let folks make a comment?
Mr. Baker, do you intend to open the floor for comment from the public on agenda item number one under your administrator's report?
Is there anybody here?
Typically, has that been done?
I think it may have happened in the past. I can't recall off my head if we've had comments from the public on that particular topic.
Well, just ask the question, is there anybody here that would like to talk?
We'll leave it to the discretion of the chair, if that's all right, and I'll be very liberal in this one case. Any other comments or changes about the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So move you.
Second. I have a motion and second to approve the agenda. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried. Approval of the minutes, the August 25th minutes were in your packet. Are there any comments about those minutes? If not, I'll consider those minutes approved. Corrections to the minutes of July 21st and July 28th, Mr. Baker.
There are several items that were in your packet regarding corrections. And and these were presented by Mrs. Griffith. Okay. First item was on the minutes of July 21st to correct a motion that reflected that Mrs. Deaver voted yes when in fact she voted nay, and that was for the Sussex County Rental Program application of Mid-Atlantic Development Ventures LLC, Harbors of Cottage Deal. And
George says it's no and not nay.
Yeah, she shouldn't be saying nay.
Okay.
It's like a horse or something.
Okay, and then the next one were the minutes of July 28th to correct a statement made by Barbara Vaughn during the public hearing on the application of Dr. Alina Pedrell, change zone number 1652. The minutes currently state that she spoke in support of the application, and then the minutes should be amended as follows. Barbara Vaughn, City of Lewis, spoke in favor of a conditional use over the change zone to B1 to maintain a low profile along Savannah Road.
Mr. Moore, how would you like us to handle making those changes? Do we need another motion?
I believe so, yes.
I'll make a motion if we need that.
have a motion to accept the corrections to the minutes of July 21st and July 28th as read by the county administrator. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, I have a couple items. The first is addressed to Mr. Baker. I am writing a reference to the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. It has been my pleasure to work with Brandy and Brad, who have been my direct contacts during a recently completed loan transaction. My borrowers became the proud owners of their first home late yesterday. Given the program was very recently approved by Wells Fargo, thanks to the cooperation efforts of Brandy and Brad, the wrinkles were not totally unexpected. However, I had the right to express my thanks. I don't want to dwell on the benefits of the program because to me they are obvious. The way it is structured, I believe, will accomplish exactly what it was established to accomplish. What I do want to focus on is the fact that the individuals who have been coordinating the implementation of this program, Brandy and Brad, have been outstanding representatives for our county. Both are intelligent, communicative, and very focused on making sure the end goal is accomplished. They are professional, knowledgeable, and sometimes in this environment, that's a rare thing. Please allow me to applaud them for their perseverance and commitment to this program and for the exemplary manner in which they handle every issue that comes up. Thank you for allowing me to voice my opinion. Becky Willey, a mortgage consultant at Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. The second letter is a thank you from the Sussex Technical High School Ravens Music Boosters. The Raven Nation Marching Band would like to say thank you for the $4,500 donation you made to help support our endeavors to participate in the Veterans Day Parade in New York City on November 11, 2009, and the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida on January 1, 2010. The Raven Nation Marching Band is made up of students from all over Sussex County. We will be representing Sussex County as well as the entire state of Delaware in both of these events. Being chosen to participate in just one of these events is an incredible honor. The Ravens have been chosen to participate in both. The Veterans Day Parade in New York City allows them to give back by showing their appreciation to all the veterans who have helped to make our country what it is today. The Gator Bowl will be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for many of them as they meet and participate in Gator Bowl festivities with students from all over the United States. They will have the opportunity to be judged on their performance and will be participating in the televised halftime show with other students. All of this would not be possible without the help and support from community businesses and organizations like you. Your support is greatly appreciated. We will make you proud. Harvey D. Bullock, Director of Instrumental Music. P.S. Watch for a photo after our trip. That's all the correspondence at this time, Mr. President.
Does Council have any correspondence? Mr. Baker, County Administrator's report.
Yes. Thank you. The first item we have today is the Delaware Department of Transportation Capital Transportation Program request. Each year, the county has been asked by the Delaware Department of Transportation to prioritize and list what the county believes should be considered for road capital projects in the succeeding year in Sussex County. Mr. Chip Guy and myself have worked to revise and supplement last year's request. DelDOT will be holding a public workshop on this coming Monday, September 21st, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the South District Administration Building in Georgetown. If you concur, we would submit a program request to DelDOT at that time. We would also, as we have in the past, we will also have some charts to display for public review. And I think you have a copy, but if not, we have, I think, a few extra copies here for your review.
Thank you, Mr. Guy.
The first page, this page of the report has some information that was basically out of the land use plan and out of a study that DLDOT had done. And it does reflect that Sussex County is Delaware's largest county with 938 square miles, roughly a little less than half of the area of the state, and more than 37% of the state's 6,281 miles of public roadway. Most heavily traveled roads are U.S. Route 13, Route 1, and followed up by Route 113. And then, of course, major east-west roads are heavily traveled. And as noted here, these were some estimates of congestion, and you can see in 2030 what DLDOT was estimating. The next page shows a summary of the priorities. If you look at the bottom section, these are, again, these are proposed for your consideration. We listed east-west improvements as a number one priority, with which we will explain a little later, with the Route 24, 26, 54, 404, 9. Evacuation routes as a second priority, Route 1 improvements, third, Indian River Inlet Bridge next, followed by intersections and signalization, local roads, north-south highway improvements, economic development projects, and alternative transportation. And then as far as east-west improvements, we believe that substantially more funding is needed so that improvements can occur across the east-west network, including widening of corridors, resurfacing of shoulders, upgrades to intersections, and addition of turn lanes, better coordination of traffic. And the next page shows Route 26 improvements. We are recommending that they, DLDOT, complete the detour routes, complete the rights-of-way and the center turn lane and shoulders. One of what we're also suggesting that these projects become shovel-ready so that if there is another stimulus package, that we would be able to take advantage of the project. At the current time, that DLDOT has not purchased all the rights-of-way, so they couldn't use, they were not able to use stimulus money for Route 26, 24, 54 improvements. On Route 24, we have also listed widening shoulder improvements. And if you go to the next page, Route 404 and 9, again, we have listed similar improvements on those roads and Route 54. And on Route 9, we're suggesting a study to identify and prioritize key intersections for improvement. Excuse me. Evacuation routes are, of course, a high priority. And as you can see, they are listed on this map. It is important, especially in late August and whatnot, to have a timely and orderly evacuation routes system. We're recommending upgrading of these routes to accommodate traffic, improve flow, conversion of additional traffic signals to a computerized system, thank you, and further education of the public regarding the routes. On Route 1, we have a number of items here. 5 points, improvements at 5 points. And we have an intersection at Route 1 and Route 16 near Milton that is accident prone and dangerous, and improvements there. Local transportation corridor. This was something that we had talked about in previous years. Improvements at West Coast Corner, sidewalks along Route 1, pedestrian bridges and crosswalks, especially in the area of the outlets, to improve safety for pedestrians. The next chart shows the Indian River Inlet Bridge, which of course is very important for the eastern side of the county, and we are recommending continuation of that project and completion of that project. The next is intersections and signalization. This was new this year. This isn't necessarily a high dollar item, but We thought that there can be improvements. I'm sure almost everyone probably has some lights or signals that you think that could be improved upon. We have a number of intersections that easily clog because of limited capacity and poorly timed signals which can impede the flow of traffic. We're requesting the state evaluate intersections along major routes, include possibly the installation of dedicated turn lanes where needed, better coordination of traffic signals at major intersections, and for instance at Industrial Park Boulevard to have a turn lane so as to not to create a safer intersection there. We were also suggesting a blinking red use of blinking red arrow lights left turn signals at key intersections such as possibly at Route 13, Sycamore Road, to help the flow of traffic. This type of signal is found in Kent and Newcastle counties, and I think in the past and occasionally in Sussex, but we're not aware of use of that in Sussex County now.
There's one remaining today. And I think it's Shawnee Road and
Milford.
At 113 at Milford.
Okay. The next chart shows local roads. Again, local roads are important. They do serve a growing populations and are continue to be used as alternate routes. Upgrades of the roads, as you'll see, is suggested, including upgrades like paving, widening shoulders, installing turn lanes. And we also encourage DLDOT to pursue its goal of paving all tar and chip roads with an average daily traffic count greater than 500 vehicles. And the next page shows a list of these roads. I won't go through all of these, but just to highlight a few. Blades River Road to add shoulders there. Under Bridgeville, there are several that were added as a result of contacting our school districts. Adams Road, shoulders and a turn lane. Woodbridge Road widening. They were requests from Woodbridge. In Dagsboro, the intersection at DuPont at Route 113 and Cricket Street, possible median crossover so our paramedic vehicles could head south on Route 113 more easily. In Georgetown, Shingle Point Road, a left turn lane from Route 9. Park Avenue, again, shoulders, left turn lane from Route 9. In Harbison, left turn lane to Hunter's Mill community. I know there have been a number of serious accidents in that area. Millsboro, Hickory Hill Road, Godwin School Road. These were two recommended by Indian River School District seemed like a reasonable request for paving. Millville, Old Mill Road has a very high traffic count, paving and shoulders. Seaford, Middleford Road, gateway improvements. Middleford Road is the gateway or entranceway, primary entranceway to the city of Seaford. And we are suggesting various improvements there to improve that Middleford Road and help with economic development. Bridgeville Highway, 13A sidewalks. The next page, North-South Highway improvements. Again, this is reflects mostly the language we've used in the last several years. We are suggesting, again, support for a north-south limited access highway to address local traffic needs as well as interstate travel. As we're aware, US 113 is fed by Route 1 from the north, 404 from the west, and 113 from the south. So there is quite a bit of traffic there. Improvements on 113 could help alleviate traffic congestion on Route 1 and Route 13 also. Economic development, improvements at our industrial airport. These are numbers mostly reflected in our five-year capital improvement plan, but much of the funding, especially for the runway work, is 95% eligible for grant funding from the FAA. There are currently 16 employers at our industrial park with approximately 1,000 jobs and an annual payroll of $36 million. So this is important to the county to maintain our industrial airpark. We are suggesting that the state evaluate the use of any federal stimulus dollars for a planned realignment of Park Avenue as part of the airport's main runway project. And the next chart basically reflects the various projects. Again, the largest item here, approximately $21 million listed here, is extension of the main runway, runway 422, by 1,000 feet. There are also other projects such as stormwater improvements and whatnot that are needed at the industrial park. And transportation alternatives, the next chart shows as cost of energy continues to fluctuate and the public's desire for more other transportation alternatives, what we're suggesting is to evaluate the fixed rate route service for buses, possibly extending service where there is a need, coordinated paratransit services, which is in process, which helps their senior and disabled population. Looking at passenger rail service, I know there was an article in the News Journal today about that, and an expanded park and ride system, and possible bike and bike trails, extending the bike trail system that we have, especially in the Lewis area. In closing, the Delaware Population Consortium estimates that the county's population will grow 30% between 2010 and 2025. We are and are expected to continue as the fastest growing county in the state. Tourism continues to thrive and places additional demands on our roadways. So we believe that waiting to plan and make needed roadway improvements after the fact will make those improvements more expensive and more difficult to implement. We do encourage DLDOT to take necessary steps now to make essential projects, especially in the east-west corridor, a high priority, and as we noted, efforts should be made to fast-track design and rights-of-way acquisition so these projects can be shovel-ready. So with that, I would like to especially thank Mr. Chip Guy, who has helped me with this and has put a lot of hours in it, and we have attained some input from school districts and others, paramedics and actually our code enforcement officers have helped too, to try to get some ideas of where there are needs on the roads, and we'll open it up for discussion.
Does council have any comments?
Yeah, I have some questions. What about connectivity between different commercial sites? Is DLDOT asking for that now? Is DLDOT requiring that now? In other words, I mean, I know we just approved one on Cave Neck and Route 1. Say that we approve one adjoining to that.
Service roads?
No, connectivity shopping centers. In other words, if you could go from one shopping center to the other without having to go to the highway, they didn't do it on Route 1, you know, in every place.
Right.
But it does help. And are they asking for that?
Yeah, they in our meetings with them, I know they're leaning in that direction to try to improve the connectivity, especially with the new projects.
But I didn't see them say anything about the Cave Neck and Route 1. Well, I mean, I could be wrong there, but I didn't see it. But
We did on Cave Neck Road. We do have on page 12. We do have a suggestion to lengthen the left turn lane from Route 1.
Right.
And we also it is also listed on the Milton side for improvements to widen the shoulders. So we do have those two improvements listed.
Oh, that's a very dangerous intersection. The folks that live there, they want a traffic light. You know, they're going to keep asking for that. Mm-hmm. And because even if they can't turn left coming out of there to Route 1 and they have to turn right, where do they make a safe U-turn? You know, how do they get to go north? You know, there's just no safe
access.
I think Mr. Guy spoke with or emailed the Delaware Department of Transportation about that request for a light.
The last I saw that there had been a response concerning the request for a light at that intersection, and that DLDOT's response was that it did not meet the criteria for putting a light at that intersection. There was also some concern that installing a light would actually make it more dangerous than by not having a light there in the first place.
Well, they put one on 16 and 1. So, I mean, if, you know, it's so dangerous, why'd they do that? You know, these people can't, you know, this is life and death here. But we're going to keep in touch with DLDOT. My question was, is DLDOT doing anything to help? Is DLDOT asking for service roads? Is DLDOT asking for connectivity between shopping centers?
Yes, they have. Are we asking working them, in that direction.
We're asking them to do that, are we? Or should we be in this request? Is that part of that or not?
We could include that in this request.
It would help if you tell people once they're zoned, rezoned, that they need to connect with the net, with the adjoining potential center, you know, shopping center. It would help.
I can't swear to this because it's some time back, but I think when the state was going through the corridor preservation program back in the 90s, I think there was some exploration of interconnectivity among shopping centers. But I think there was some legal issue with doing that. There may have been some issues with property owners that were adjoining that did not necessarily want to have connecting entrances. I seem to recall that being a stumbling block. I don't know if that, in fact, was something that wound up being an impediment and kept them from pursuing it. But I believe well,
we,
that
we,
was
Dave, we could easily encourage, have something to encourage the connectivity
where
of,
possible
of,
or something along
you know,
those
commercial
lines.
Sites along our major corridors.
And
that we will try to encourage it, and we would like to see them do it, encourage it also.
Mm-hmm.
There is a concern about requiring someone to do something outside of their particular parcel, and you get into contract zoning, which we've been reminded time and time again is something we don't have the authority to require. So your suggestion that we could encourage it
sure. Is
fine, but to require
well,
part
when,
of an approval,
when DLDOT,
it's a little
yeah, when
dicey.
DLDOT is giving out the entrance permits and they're negotiating, and I can, you know, I think they have leverage there to say that, you know, each time they give these permits, part of the permit process and the negotiating would be that we want interconnectivity.
Right.
And
I don't think that's a problem to.
So we, yeah, like I said, I don't know what the private property issues would be on that, but we just encourage it.
We
and
could
have
add
we
a
ever
statement to that effect in
yeah,
here?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Have we ever taken a position on asking DLDOT to require service roads along these roads like Route 1? And, you know, I don't know about Route 9, but I travel it every day, and we keep seeing rezonings all up and down 9. And I don't know what DLDOT's going to do about those roads as they keep developing commercially.
Well, it's spotty at this time, and it's difficult to have any. If you required them, there wouldn't be any connectivity. They wouldn't be going anywhere.
I'm talking about service roads.
I know.
Service
what we
roads.
Ought to do is require enough setback.
That's another thing I wanted to ask
to be
for.
Able to provide for yeah. the placement of service roads, maybe. That's the way to do it. But I think right now, Dave, what is or Lawrence in here, or Shane, or, anyway, there are setbacks so in our resident, or I mean our commercial district is what, only 60 feet? Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. We grab Shane.
Well, you try to turn into the good for you store, where, you know, where they sell good food, good for you food, organic food. It's almost worth your life to try to get in and out of there. It's dangerous.
That's gonna hurt business.
I'm sorry. Anyway,
but we ought to encourage connectivity, service roads, all that stuff, and maybe we may have to look at our zoning gentleman to maybe require a greater setback. When we have new structures, you can't make an existing structure move, but we can maybe.
Mr. Cole just read my mind.
That's easy.
We can't expand these roads if the houses are going to be so close to the road, like on Plantation Road. I mean, that's impossible, how close those houses are to the road. And I'm hoping that we're not doing that any longer. I mean, that's an older community, but I'm hoping that we are helping by creating adequate setbacks so that roads can be expanded in the future and we can have bike lanes in the future.
But maybe for the new council people, maybe having Lawrence go over that maybe with sometime about how we're dealing with different types of roads when they get the certain label, you know, as a major artery or whatever. Are there different setbacks or how we're addressing it and the things? And that might be a good way to educate us all. And even Vance and I might learn something. I know Sam will.
Anything else, Ms. Deaver?
Did we consult with the state police and local officials? Well, I guess it's really state police on these county roads about their recommendations on this?
No, we did not call the state police for it, but we did. We checked with our, we checked with the school districts. We've expanded as we've gone. We've checked with the school districts. We've checked with our code enforcement officers, our assessors, and whatnot are on the road every day.
Right.
And we've checked with the paramedics.
Do we generate this, or this is generated from the state, right? And
we generate this.
We generate this.
And some of these also are suggestions from council as well. So it's really an amalgam.
Right, of course, right. And on public, we look at, we get emails and suggestions through the suggestion box, and we've looked at a number of those.
I would like to bring the public in a little bit more than we are right now. They are just full of good ideas. And another thing, we just rezoned not long ago a piece of property on Route 13. I didn't see DelDOT coming in to require, I don't know what all, you know, DelDOT did as far as entrances and that type of thing, but that's just another road that we're talking about having limited access on, and here we are rezoning piece by piece by piece. And so I don't know if it's coordinated with DelDOT and that, you know, we can still have that limited access or not.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Abbott.
Hello.
There was a question about the setbacks on corridors, and Mr. Abbott can explain that a little bit more.
Well, the question basically, Mrs. D brought up service roads and different things, and I said I thought that the current setback for a commercial district was only 60 feet.
Commercial is 60 feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On any road, right.
So maybe I was telling some of the new councilmen, that may not be appropriate because if there ever is a need for service roads or maybe 60 feet isn't enough room to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was just something I brought up to. Maybe we might want to address that. Should we have different setbacks on different types of roads, these major artery roads and local roads versus, you know, whatever. So that was one of the things I was concerned about.
And I'm sure you're familiar with Plantation Road about how close the houses are. And is it true? I mean, we wouldn't be having that again, I hope. What are the setbacks for homes on roads like Plantation Road?
40 feet.
But, of course, these houses are a lot closer
than that.
They're
a lot closer, yeah.
A lot closer, right.
Well, we allowed, I think, planning and zoning, and I had no idea they were doing this. They would let the developers lay out some common area. Land along the roadway, and then they would run their lots up to that, and it would only be like a 5-foot strip. Then they only had to have 10 feet. Right.
Especially so down on Bethany.
We did that on Coastal North Highway, Bethany, so we got huge houses sitting right on the edge of on the edge of the highway, right? Because the developers figured out that the county, your planning zoning, your commissioners would permit that, and they bought into it. So
like a 5 or 10 foot planning strip.
Exactly. So now we do have houses within 40 feet, which is not good.
Yeah.
It limits our growth.
Oh, it does. The future is limited. It's very difficult. But anyway.
Is that loophole closed
then? No.
We really not had any since then.
That's the only reason we haven't had any, because nobody's asked.
Plantation West did it. Or no, Plantation East, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They did it.
They did the same thing. Well, it's the same attorneys figured it all out, and he just follows along, and he knows how they can get an extra few lots to get a little more space. Mm-hmm. But what it does restrict growth. Expansion of these highways, right. Whether it be shoulders or bike paths or sidewalks. So we're very limited.
It would seem like a loophole that would be right for closing if an ordinance amendment is required. You may want to look at it.
We probably could do it with policy. Maybe, couldn't we, maybe?
I don't know.
I'm looking down at the our high-priced attorney.
I believe that'd be best to do with an ordinance.
Sure.
A lot of the subdivisions now, if the commission's asking for, say, if somebody did do that, they would pick up on it now.
I mean, they have the ability to just to say no. They can request anything they want.
That's correct.
Right. I mean, I don't think we need the ordinance. We just need to set it straight that there's concerns at our level that they're doing. They've permitted this in the past, and I don't think they've done it recently. Of course, I haven't followed many of them. You have, I'm sure.
But an ordinance would straighten it out good and proper.
Oh, sure, exactly would.
Are there any other comments regarding the transportation request?
One last,
go ahead.
Just.
Go ahead.
Finish up.
Please forgive me for this minute little thing, but it's important to folks that live in Painter's Mill. The corner there at Cave Neck Road and Route 1 was zoned commercial. And they want to know if they can have any consideration at planning and zoning for landscaping or any such thing. So we're going to be visiting you. So that's a fair warning.
If they have any parking within 50 feet of residential, their ordinance requires landscaping now.
Okay, good. Great. That's good news. Thank you for your time. Appreciate that.
Okay. It doesn't have anything to do with Shane.
Go Phillies.
Mr. Cole.
Thank you, Shane.
The dark buses that ride up and down the beach, you know, coming out of Rehoboth and going up and down Coastal Highway and everything, they've there are many times they are empty and whatever. It always concerns me seeing that. But the reason is they're empty is they've got these little signs about so big attached to some telephone poles in the oddest, most bizarre locations, like in between streets at the end of out along the highway. And it's just there's no bench there. There's nothing to, you know, to anybody in their right mind, if they're, you know, would think that would be a place for one of these dart buses to stop. So I think we need to send them something that, I don't know, whoever's laying these out, but they've got to identify them better. Just got to do a better
locations.
Job.
I think
the locations seem to be very odd, and I don't know if you've got any pictures of it, but there's one right along Coastal Highway, out in the, just along the highway.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually signs. So the tourists coming here, they're not going to find these. And nobody's going to go to a website and try to find out where they are. You look, you see them, you use them. So
maybe on this slide here, I could insert a sub-bullet under bus service to say something along the lines of improve markings or signage at bus stops to raise
public
awareness.
Well, maybe attached to this, Dave and Chip, just maybe some comments, you know, a letter attached, say some other comments to clarify or something. Maybe you could put it in there, but they need to, or some criticism, you know, about what they're doing. Not so much in art, what we're asking for. We would like to see, yes, better bus service. You could put in there somewhere clearly identified bus stops that appear to be a bus, you know, that even look like a bus stop. But we might want to attach a letter, David, with some criticism of what they're doing now and stay, and here's ways we think it could be improved possibly.
Okay.
Any other comments from council?
Are we still asking for the ramp at Five Points, or are we asking for an improved Five Points? The wording, I want to be careful with that.
Well, right now we have it on page 8. Mm-hmm. It says Five Points overpass, similar to what we've had in previous years, but I think the intent is probably more Five Points improvements.
Could we change that? Because the ramp is very controversial in that neighborhood.
Well, I think Delta would like to have from the county council as the de facto metropolitan planning organization what our recommendation would be then for...
We're not traffic planners.
Yeah, I agree with her there. We're not the experts. I would concur with that there's improvements needed. I think they need to come to the table with what those improvements should be, not us.
And they have done that, but Ms. Deaver, you're saying it's not popular what they have brought to the table?
No.
Okay, mm-hmm. We're not the planners, so Mr. Cole, if...
Directed to the senators and the representatives then, but we just, I think we keep it generic that there are improvements are needed.
So you want to change that to say Five Points intersection improvements are needed at the Five Points intersection to reduce accidents at this gateway to the resort area.
Yep. We could strike our emphasis on overpass because, again, we're not the experts on is an overpass needed or not needed.
Then we can change grade separation to improvements.
Just take it out.
Yeah.
Right, Sam? Let Joe Booth deal with that.
Flyways in, but where are they going? And I'm going to wear everything blocked the other end of this house.
Anything else?
The only time you get on the highway, when you get a stoplight, most time, like here on 18 or something, the stoplight comes along, then you get a break, get in between the traffic. So if you had flyover, I don't know when you'd ever get over. So sometimes they work in our benefit. Sometimes I like flyover until I stop.
I don't mind them either. I'm just saying I don't think we should be the ones to determine that's what's needed there.
Mr. Baker, do you need any further action by council? Or?
I don't think it's necessary. As long as there's a consensus, we would submit a letter with the revised report to explain the some of the additional concerns that have been brought up here.
Mm-hmm. If there's no objections from council, you have that authority. Thank you very much.
The only thing I would say is once I'm a more experienced councilwoman, I will know this is coming up next year, but I would like to get the word out to my constituents way ahead of time that this is coming up and get their input. This caught me unaware. I should have been on top of it. We're not having a public hearing in order to let the folks make comments. So I would like to, I will know next year.
Are you suggesting then we schedule this as a public hearing?
Yes.
And then that you need to say that, because it'll be like this again, and then we won't.
Isn't
there a public hearing they can go to?
I thought there was a workshop on
this. That's a public thing, it's a public hearing.
This is our part of our request, though.
We provide input, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when DLDOT does what they do, and if you don't like what they're doing, they'll say, well, the county wants that. And so, I'm not so sure that the people in the county really all know what we're saying here, what we're asking for here. You hope they are.
Well, we do place it available on our website.
If I had known about it earlier, I would have jumped on the website and looked at it. But,
my suggestion then, why don't we put it on the website for next year and ask for comments. Written comments through our website or through some kind of something that a public
the only the only
then we don't have to have a public hearing, but then our staff could go through that and bring a synopsis of what some of the concerns are.
Well, I think the people have not had a chance. I talked to somebody about it Saturday and about New Road being widened, and this is one family says to me, I don't want that road widened. That's just one example of people not knowing what we're doing. They should have an opportunity. They should have a public hearing on this.
Well, like they said to say, but anyway, we could make available public opinion. I see that as being a way to bring their ideas and thoughts to us.
The only concern there is that we would need to advance the process along so that we're not doing this. I mean, we're 6 days from DLDOT's public hearing today.
Mm-hmm.
And what we brought before you is the draft CTP based on the input that we've received thus far. I think the thing to do next year, if you want to do it in the same fashion, is to put together the draft CTP as early as July or August to get it on the web and solicit the input from the public.
Right.
And then you can make your decision the week or so before the DLDOT hearing in September, because it's usually in September.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just have to
move ahead a little bit.
Alter the process a little bit.
Speaking of moving ahead, thank you, Mr. Guy. Mr. Baker, Administrator's report.
First item is notification that the Sussex County.
Can I offer a public comment?
No, ma'am.
I'm
sorry.
I'm the.
Council, do you wish to continue the discussion of the transportation program request?
Yes.
Any objections?
No.
Ms. Cole?
I don't have really any problem with it.
Yes, ma'am. Please come up.
People come and let them pick up time and just tell her, give her the old. we will give you the old egg timer.
We've been trying to limit public comment.
Thank
to
you
three
very much.
Months, but
my name is Helen Truitt. I saw it advertised that you were having the DLDOT discussion, and I am very interested in the overpass or underpass or improvement at 5 points. That is extremely important. And I think that before you say no to the overpass, I think that you should consider what the public has to say and listen to the public on that issue.
We're not saying no.
I don't want you to say no on it. But also, another from the presentation, what does it take to require for a light to be for a cross section, for a crossroads to be eligible for a light?
Well, the state does that. We don't do that. So
that's what the man is here now to ask.
Who?
The gentleman's here now.
Oh, no, we don't have a procedure for that. In other words, you should call the state representative or the senators. They're the ones that bring the lights. They're the ones that fund the lights and everything else. So it's, we don't have any funding. We don't have any say over it. We've never have. And I don't think this implies that we intend to have any input in it into the future.
Okay. For your planning and zoning of the development along the roads, I think that it is very important that you consider before housing and people's homes are established along the road, make a plan for the roads. And Route 9 is an example. We have plenty of room there now to do whatever would be possible to put in your connecting roads or your bikeways or your extra space that you need. I think now is the time for council to say what can go along Route 9 before we ruin Route 9 like we have Route 1.
Thank you, Ms. Truitt. Anyone
like
else?
One?
Yes. Come up.
Thank you for letting me speak at this point. My name is Betty Deegan. I live at 18201 Hickory Lane, Lewis, Delaware. I also wanted to ask that in the future there be a public hearing about these DelDOT requests. For those of us who live on the east side of the county, this is very important because we're getting boxed in by development and no way to move around. We expect, because we've talked with DelDOT already, that at the hearing on 921, they're going to propose cul-de-sacking Route 9 before it goes over Route 1. And where are they going to put the traffic? They're going to run it through Henlopen Landing, dump it on the Plantation Road, and maybe make Shady Road a little wider. So they're taking this, and as far as I'm concerned, this is going to be at the expense of the older, established communities to accommodate the Shell development and the Deep Valley Farms on Route 9. It would be nice if Plantation Road was a private road instead of Route 9. I think the council needs to think about using grids so that no one road has to become an eight-lane highway. I, right now, except you're going to approve a development on Robinsonville Road soon, so I won't be able to do this, I can leave my house in Sandy Bray, and I can be at my son's house in Millsboro in 17 minutes using back grid roads. If I get on Route 24, it's a good 30 to 45 minutes any time of the day, and forget about the summer. So I'm going to reiterate again that on the east side, this is very important to us. We live with traffic every day. And during the summer, I try to spend as much time out of the community as I can. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Deegan. I don't defend DelDOT often, but I will say that this public hearing on the 21st is not to be taken lightly. They will be there to take public comment seriously. So if the public does have suggestions, I would encourage them to participate. Anyone else? Okay. Mr. Baker, Administrator's Report.
Okay, yes. The first item is the Sussex County Advisory Committee for Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities. As per the attached agenda, this committee will be meeting on September 21st at 10 a.m. at the Greenwood Cheer Center. One of the items of discussion is proposed amendments to their bylaws, which, if approved, would later be submitted to the County Council for approval. Prescription drug discount card. During the month of July, 375 prescriptions were filled using this card, resulting in a price savings of about $13,000. This represents an average 24% discount for users of the program. The discount card is available to anyone, and it is especially beneficial to those who do not have separate drug card coverage. Personnel and the public information offices have made extra efforts to distribute these cards at pharmacies and stores that carry drugs. That the number of prescriptions filled has risen from 107 in November 2007 to 375 during the month of July, our highest month. Delaware Coastal Cleanup, DENREC, will sponsor the Delaware Coastal Cleanup on September 19, 2009, beginning at 9 a.m. along Delaware shorelines, and attached is a information. Western Sussex and Historic Byway Committee will be meeting September 17th at the Seaford City Hall at 7 p.m. They are working on the application to the Delaware Department of Transportation for approval of the byway designation. Incident Command System Overview Course. Attached is a notice regarding a National Incident Management System course, NIMS course, offered for public executives and senior officials on September 23rd at 9:30 a.m. at the EOC. It has been offered to towns, county department heads, and others who may be interested, and it provides information regarding how to manage emergency incidents and critical events. A number of county department heads have taken that course in the past, and we're encouraging others to take it that haven't. Delaware Capital Transportation Program public hearing, again, September 21st, 4 to 7 p.m., they will hold a public hearing. Sussex County property tax due date is September 30, 2009. We have a press release attached, and anyone with questions regarding the tax bill should contact the Treasury Division as soon as possible at 855-7760. Beneficial acceptance. The Engineering Department has granted beneficial acceptance to Timber Acres Agreement 914 on September 1st. Developers Timber Acres project is located on John J. Williams Highway, southwest of Delaware Route 23 in the Long Neck Sewer District, for a 21-unit mobile home park. And also, it was approved for Windhurst Manor Phase 2 on September 1st. And that project is located south of the intersection of Route 26 and 352 in the Millville expansion in the Bethany Beach Sewer District, consisting of 7 attached multifamily units. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Any questions for Mr. Baker? Brad Hawks, please.
I have to discuss with you Gulf Village Sanitary Sewer. Recently, I was before council and reviewed the successful completion of that project. I want to mention that the engineering department recognizes Whitman Reckwart as assisting us on this project. Mr. Gilbert from Whitman and Reckwart is here. And he also assisted in preparing some of these documents, which in this case happens to be a credit change order to the project. These are some contractual issues that we review with the contractor for unused items on the project, and therefore request of the contractor a credit for items not used. I have those items in front of me. I can review them in detail or provide you with the motion.
In detail, please.
Excuse me?
Detail, please.
The project was provided with 8-inch gravity sewer, 8-inch sewer manholes. There was a host of items regarding the sewer pipe fittings and stone, crusher run, paving, restoration items, and so forth. Several of the items during the bid process were estimated conservatively. Therefore, there were items that were unused, and I also give credit to our staff in the field that would go through and carefully measure things and look for ways to conserve items within the project. If they were able to adjust the manhole location by even a foot or two or three, you may save that amount of pipe on the project. So they review these items in the field with the contractor, make adjustments agreed upon by the contractor, and at that point it results in a credit to the project for unused items. It may be pipe, it may be stone, it may be dirt, it may be hot mix, it can be a host of items, and in this case there was a variety of items within the project that were not used and therefore would be a credit to the project.
Very good. Credit of $77,000.
That is correct.
That's good news.
8% of the total contract. Okay. You want to read the motion, please?
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the county's consulting engineer, Whitman Reckwarden and Associates, and the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the balancing change order for Sussex County Contract 0805, Gulf Village Sanitary, Gulf Village Sewer, with A.P. Kroll and Son, Inc., be approved, which decreases the contract by the amount of $77,579.13, for a new contract total of $942,398.72, and decreases the contract, or excuse me, and increases the contract time by 17 days contingent upon the receipt of approval of the funding agencies.
Could I get that motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the change order read by Mr. Hawks. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Hawks. We have a public hearing now.
Mm-hmm.
Susie, how are you? Ms. Webb?
Okay. Do you want to open it up?
Sure. This is the time and place for the public hearing on a proposed ordinance to authorize the issuance of up to $10,500,000 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County for the construction and equipping of the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District and authorizing all necessary action in connection therewith. At the beginning of the hearing, a brief presentation will be made by Ms. Susan Webb. She will briefly explain the ordinance and the purposes to be accomplished by it. After she has completed the presentation, council will have an opportunity to ask her questions in order to clarify their understanding of the proposed ordinance. After that process has been completed, I will then open the floor to comments and questions from members of the public. If any member of the public wishes to be heard concerning this ordinance, you're required to make a statement from the speaker's stand, and please state your name and address for the record. Ms. Webb?
Thank you. As Mr. Moore said, the purpose of the bonds are to finance a portion of the cost of the construction of the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. The bonds are backed by the county's full faith and credit. The debt service will be paid from the revenues of the Johnson's Corner Sewer District. The term of the bonds are not to exceed 40 years. It's anticipated that the bonds will be sold to the state of Delaware and the United States Department of Agriculture. The issuance is within the legal debt limit of the county. And the total funding for this project is a mix of bonds, USDA grants, stimulus funds, county grants, and developer contributions. Anyone?
Okay. Now is the time that we